welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football TV. How's everybody doing today? How y'all feeling?
Feeling really good, man. Feeling really good. How
are you? I'm back.
It's you know, we'll get into it. My team has blue. Definitely feeling blue today. Definitely feeling blue today. Just want to say thank you again to all of our friends, all of our supporters out there. Whether this is the first episode you've been with us, you're checking in for the first time, or whether you have been rocking with us from the beginning, just want to say thank you again. But let's just get into it, because the Prem is back, baby. The Prem is officially back. Friday, we started off with some, you know, we started off the right way, as I think Salam would say. But before we get into the Premier League, we have to talk about a former Prem manager who has now officially been named the manager of the U.S. men's national team. Mr. Mauricio Pochettino has officially been named manager. The particulars aren't out yet, so I'm not exactly sure how long the deal is for, but clearly this is to get us in preparation for the World Cup that's coming up in the North America region, continent here in 2026. So honestly, first thoughts for me was that this is actually a good signing. You know, Pochettino's fresh off what I would say been a what was a decent run with Chelsea, to be honest. I mean, we got to a final, whether or not people think that the Carabao is a big cup or not, we got there. Unfortunately, did not win the final, but was in the semi for the FA Cup as well. Ended up finishing in a European berth, being that we were in sixth place last year. So I think that, you know, at the end of the day, Pochettino could say he had a decent run with us, given that, you know, Chelsea was in a little bit of shambles, to be honest. But now he's taking on another role where he's you know, he's gifted a team that has a lot of young stars, to be honest. You know, a lot of these guys are playing in Europe, a lot of these big leagues. When you look at Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, Yunus Musa, Timothy Weah, when you look at our big stars there. And so he's gifted a team, and Poch is good at developing young talent. We saw him do it at Tottenham. So, you know, off rip for me, I think it's a good decision to go ahead and get somebody that, you know, it's not like he was sitting down and not working for a while. He just only had a summer off. So I'm sure he's still hungry to coach, clearly. And I don't know. How do y'all feel about it?
Great. I mean, we have a young team. Like you said, he should do well. I think we have some experienced guys as well, which also helps. But I feel like this blueprint is very much the same of Chelsea's at this moment, like a young squad. We have a couple senior players, like Pulisic, he's a senior player to me at this point, you know. You know, we have veteran guys on the team, but we also have a lot of young guys, and I think these young guys will start to take over slowly, and I think you'll give a lot of young guys confidence. And also, I mean, for the guys on the team, this is the first, or one of the first, like, very, very established managers they've had, like, ever, who's really done it at the highest level. And I think for them, this is going to be a big learning experience for them. And I think they'll fully buy in, because I feel like if you look at the team at Chelsea that, you know, started to pick up points in the last half of the season, ended up being 3 points off the top four, Poch did that. And this is what kind of being thrown into the fire of, you know, that whole situation in Chelsea in general. So if he's able to do that in, what, 6 months, a year, you know what I mean? Now he has 2 years to prepare with these guys. And I think they'll fully buy in. And I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of the U.S. men's national team. You know, like, I think they still have a long way to go, but I think we'll see significant changes in the next 2 years. And I think we'll probably be the most prepared we've ever been for a World Cup coming this World Cup. So I don't know what our group looks like, but if our group is favorable, I can see us getting out. Just solely based on the manager. Now the players, that's a different story, but it's solely based on the manager. I think he'll do well here.
Yeah, I mean, I have a good feeling about it. I think it's a good match. The U.S. wanted someone with a proven record, someone that has experience coaching in big games. And Poch has shown that he can work with young talent. And, I mean, we got a lot of young guys who I think could really make an impact in the future on the national league team. There's certain, some of them are doing that for their club teams, but I think it's a good match, man. And I think obviously, you know, it's prep for the next 2 years, and hopefully he can get these guys together and, you know, get us believing. But I think it's a good match. And I think no disrespect to Berhalter, but I think you'll see better, better improvement, certainly. Because he already has that experience in Europe, so he kind of knows what – I think he has, like, a different eye, you know, for talent and what he values. So I think it'll be good.
No, now – no, plus he's won a trophy, you know, and at PSG he won a – well, he won a Coupe de France, I think, you know. So he has some title. He has some trophies under his belt. Plus – what was I about to say? I feel like he won't bring that Spursy stuff over him, you know. Over here, I feel like he got that Spursy stench off of him, you know. So, I think he might do well here.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it is a good signing. It is a good signing. I think the biggest aspect of this signing is the fact that you have somebody coming in who's not going to, you know, feed into the politics that was already, you know, going around. He's not American. He's Argentinian. So he's coming in with a different set of, you know, perspectives with these guys. But I feel like as of right now, most U.S. players are not integral parts of their club teams. So it would be interesting to see how, apart from Pulisic, most of them are not real on the fringes. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he does with this team.
Really? You think that?
Yeah.
You think there's some on the fringes? I think that there's a lot.
I mean, like Weston McKennie, where those guys are not.
Haji, right?
Quote unquote.
Part of he's a starter.
At Juve.
Chris Richards for Crystal Palace.
Anthony Robinson.
Antoine Robinson. Bro.
Eunice Musa just had
I'm talking of the guys that recently have been like the main guys in the U.S. national team. Most of them are not really, you know, apart from Aaronson and Pulisic. I can't look at any other of them and be like, okay, yeah, well, I guess Robinson, you could be, he's another guy that you could add to that list. But I think it's interesting. We'll see what happens.
Robinson could be the best left back in the Prem.
I agree.
What?
Anthony Robinson, sorry.
Yeah.
Could be the best left back in the Prem. I don't, there's really not.
It's not a hot take. I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. That's it.
No. Yeah. I'll say it again. Robinson could be and probably is the best left back in the. I don't know. I don't know who else you would put there, but
he. I don't know. He doesn't do it for me yet.
Zion would probably say Gvardiol, but I don't know. When you're spending $100 million on defenders, I don't know.
I don't. That's a crazy shout. Honestly,
give me anybody.
Yeah,
give me a left back better than Robinson in the Premier League.
Bro,
he's solid.
Right man. Now, he's
solid, but like he's
it's hard.
Is he better than Andy Robertson?
Like he doesn't do enough for me to be considered the best left back in the league.
I think if he switches teams, it changes that perspective. I think he's pretty good.
I think he's good, but like to say the best left back in the Prem,
I'd say he's
come better on. He's not even. No, he can't be better than Andy Robertson. I'm looking at his stats right now. I'm not the biggest stats guy, but also like, bro, 6 assists. That's not enough, bro. You look and talk about the best left backs in the league.
His team is also different, though, bro. His team is like his team is not. No disrespect to Fulham, but like they're not creating that many chances and.
For him to have 6 assists is decent. I mean,
exactly. That's pretty good. I'm like,
considering how much Fulham has to defend,
exactly. Liverpool got the ball 80% of the game, damn near.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're gonna talk about Fulham here in a second. To be honest, so
yeah.
You know, we can talk about Fulham, but that's a good shot, Salam. I wasn't thinking about it before you said that, but I mean, I don't know if he's better than Robertson though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's better than any of ours.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It depends on playing. Who's defense is playing for us in my day? You give us Calafiori? I don't know. You give us Timber? Honestly, Timber. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Better than Zinchenko.
Yeah, better than Zinchenko. I'll tell you that. For sure.
But yeah, so, but no, I mean, just to cap the U.S. segment, I think that Pochettino is a good signing for us. I'm excited to see what's next. and what he does with this team for real, because I mean, I said it last World Cup, I thought that we had a decent squad that would, depending on what our group was, get us out of the group stages, and that happened. Now, you know, feel how you feel about the game against the Dutch. I think we could have done a lot better, but it was a good precursor to kind of see what this team could potentially be. Now with Pochettino, I think we have a manager that can unlock the players that need to be unlocked a little bit. And hopefully as they mature in these next couple of years, we see a very, very strong U.S. team. I have high hopes, for real. But, Mike, I actually just I want to toss it back to you. I know you just ended talking about the U.S., but this Chelsea team, we gotta talk about us first, clearly, because obviously we played just today, a few hours ago, and, you know, we also lost. As the tradition goes, the team that loses speaks first. But what were your honest takes when you saw the lineup? I know we were talking a little bit about, was this Chelsea's strongest 11? And then as the game, you know, matured from the first half to the second half, what were your takes on the overall?
Yeah, my initial reaction, see the lineup. I love the lineup. I thought it was a great lineup. I thought it was interesting that he was able to find a way for Enzo, Lavia, and Caicedo in the lineup. With Enzo playing at the 10, which I thought was very interesting. If you look at our team last season, Palmer has done very well playing right behind the striker, playing right behind Jackson, with Madueke playing on the left-hand side, I would say right-hand side. So I thought it was interesting he put Palmer back on the outside. Well, after the game today, I can confidently say, we might have to go back to Palmer playing in the middle and possibly taking out Enzo and putting Pedro Neto on the right-hand side. Because we have to be able to use Palmer to his full potential. We have to keep him in the middle of the field. He makes things happen. And when he's on the right-hand side of the field, he seems a little bit more isolated. You have to bring him into the game. And for us to do that, it means we'll have to use that right side a lot. And you can't predict how a ball game is going to go. You can't just, okay, we're constantly going to go to the right side. And teams are going to figure you out. But when you put him in the middle of the field, it allows him to move around a little bit more. Allows him to move a little bit more freely, I would say. Enzo didn't do the job we expect him to do as a 10, even though that is his preferred position. I don't think this team, well, in this game, Endo playing there was the right option. I think as the season goes on, there'll be enough games to where you can, you know, tinker with the combination of players. But for this first game, to be honest, I was okay with the performance. There, you know, there's just a few positions here and there that I'm not quite sure about. Neto playing on the left instead of the right. I don't know if I like that. I want to see Palmer in the middle, Neto on the right, and Nkunku on the left wing. I want to see that front four of Jackson, Nkunku on the left, Palmer on the right, and then Neto, Palmer in the middle, Neto on the right. Let's see what happens. But overall performance, I don't think I have any complaints, to be honest. I don't know about you.
Gary, you had a question.
Yeah, I mean, who is Enzo for y'all? That's that's my question. Like,
he's your captain.
I mean, clearly that's your captain. But outside of that, like, what do y'all expect from him? And where technically is his preferred position?
I think
for me, like, I don't know. You guys want him to be like everything, and then some days you don't want him to be, and then some days you do. Like, who is he?
So personally, I don't know what his preferred or best position is, but I think if I look at him on the pitch, he prefers the eight role. I think that's where he prefers to play. I think today having him in that 10 role, he was a little too high up the pitch. For me, there were a few, not to get too technical, but there were a few times where he got the ball in the attacking third, kind of, you know, maybe 4 or 5 yards away from the 18, and he just didn't really know what to do. I mean, he took a few shots that were here or there that got blocked. there were times that he kind of got the ball turned and didn't know whether to pass the ball or try to take it deeper into their attacking third. So for me, I think he would prefer the eight. But today, when, you know, we had a few chances, and that's what I wanted to say, Mike, I agree with a lot of what you had to say, but I do have some gripes because, I mean, if you look at the way we played, we went at City. You know, at the end of the first half, Nicholas Jackson is offsides by a foot, but if he stays onside, we go into the half tied 1-1. So for me, we had chances to score. We had attacking possessions. You know, we got a few corners. We looked dangerous at times, but I think it's like what we've said in the past. It's going to be very sticky with our defense. You know, we leak goals. We saw it a couple of weeks ago when we played City in preseason in Columbus, and we saw it again here today where a few lapses of judgment can take a 0-0 match into 1-0, and then, you know, Kovacic just had a beautiful strike. Ain't nothing you can do about that for real. But the first goal could have been avoided, and we could have equalized in the first half. And it's a game of those margins for me that, you know, this is game one, so I don't want to be too nitpicky on things. But when you look at, you know, potentially getting a point out of this match, it was there for us. But we had a few moments where it's just like, Nicholas Jackson, this has been an issue since last season. Stay on sides. You know, like, I know you're looking and you really want to be a part of the match and you're trying to do your best, but bro, you have to be a professional. Stay on sides. That extra step cost us not going, you know, potentially cost us 2 points. So it's like, for me, it's just, we need to get a little bit better with the A, B, and C of the game before we start looking at positioning and who wants to go where. Like, bro, just win your position battle, because we had chances. And Cuckoo, I think you had chances to shoot the ball. If you're going to be up there, like, if you're taking those touches in the box, I expect a shot. You know what I'm saying? I know you want to cut in and shoot on your favor, right? But if you're going to be that predictable, you're going to be easy to defend, and that's not good for me, bro. Like, there's a few things that I'm looking and I'm seeing. This team, I agree. I loved our lineup. And when I looked at it, I said, yo, this team, we somehow got everybody on the pitch. So let's see what we can do. And I don't mind the 4-3-3. Yeah, maybe we can switch back to the double pivot, do that 4-2-3-1 so we can get, you know, Pedro, Neto, and everybody out there. But I don't think all of these guys are 100% fit. I think we're going to have to work everybody in the system. They all don't really know each other yet. So Neto just came here last week, bro. You know, I was surprised to even see him get that many minutes today. But for me, I just think that we're going to be fine. You know, City was a hard test on week one. Luckily, the rest of our month should be a little bit more favorable for us as far as who we play. But as far as what I expect from Chelsea, I expected it to be a little bit tighter, a little bit cleaner. You know, I said in the group chat, Cole Palmer looked like he was still on vacation. You know, it may be a positional thing, but I've seen him play out on the wing before and play better. So for me, it's just getting back into the league, bro. You know, we're here now. It's week one. We took our lumps, but hopefully we can move forward a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't have too much concerns about Enzo. I feel like it's, you know, other fan bases that are just kind of pressuring to, oh, he's 100 million. He has to do this wonderful things. He gave a lot of great balls today. Nobody said anything about it. Like, I'm not too worried about that whole thing. I was the first guy to say, hey, maybe in this lineup, you just don't fit here. I'm okay with that. That does not mean he's not going to play. So, like, in certain lineups, he's probably not going to be the fit. Somebody else has to be in there so that we can maximize the type of players we have on the field.
So do you think if you had, because presumably I think that you guys are going to play with a double pivot, so a six and an eight, you know, primarily in the sixth row, right? Yeah. Who's your preferred in there?
The two sitting back? Yeah. It'll be Lavia and Caicedo.
So you prefer Lavia Caicedo over Enzo?
Correct. Yes.
If it was in this game,
and this is your, but if no, playing, I'm not. I'm talking about. Like, you're starting 11. Like, I know you still have players to figure out. Probably you're starting 11.
If we're doing the double pivot, I would prefer Caicedo and Lavia, because I think there it's a little bit more clear who would play the eight and who would play the six. Caicedo would you know, defer to the six, and I think Lavia would be the eight, allowed to be a little bit more creative. That would be what I prefer personally.
So you guys don't have Enzo in your starting 11, technically.
I personally
don't. That's not what I'm saying.
I personally don't.
I think it'll depend on the game. I can't confidently say he's not.
And not for nothing. Dewsbury Hall, if he continues to play well, and I was listening to somebody that said, you know, Dewsbury Hall is one of those signings that came in with already knowing how Maresca plays. You know, he came from Leicester. I think Dewsbury Hall is going to be one of the unsung heroes of our season because, one, like I said, he already knows Maresca's how he wants to play, but I think he has the workhorse kind of motor in him that we need on our team. We don't, you know, with Conor Gallagher probably gone, we don't really have that guy. You know, Malo Gusto has that in him as well, but in our midfield, we don't, you know, hopefully Lavia can be that guy, but I want him to be more creative. We need that workhorse that's going to do a little bit of the dirty work that, you know we can put in it for a shift in these games where we need him to play 20 minutes. So I don't know. Enzo has a lot to prove for me because I've never been the biggest fan and the price tag didn't help.
I
didn't know who we were getting from the jump, and he hasn't shown me, you know, what he's best at yet.
So please answer my question. So for both of y'all, Enzo's 90. I know it depends by game, but your strongest 11, who is Enzo in there?
For me,
I would start Enzo over Lavia because Lavia and Caicedo can do pretty much the same thing. So you will need the one guy who can actually move the ball from, you know, the mid to the attacking for, you know, four or three, whatever you want to call it.
And I think that's so where for we me, I think Lavia can do that.
But that's what I was saying, that in this game, I didn't think we were using Enzo the right way. And Lavia could have just easily done what Enzo was doing. So it's going to depend. There's just so many games where I feel like we would have to decide which one we're going to use. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there are some games. A game like this, did you think we really needed Enzo? He didn't do much for me to be like, okay, we needed him to be on the field.
Yeah, I understand why he did it because I feel like you still have three more defensive mind midfielders and you're playing City. So, like, exactly. I get it for this match. I really do. But I think when you're playing, you know, these Evertons, these Southamptons,
yeah,
you know, yeah. I think Cole Palmer, like you said, he needs to go in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pedro Neto needs to be on that right hand side. Cause like I've always been a big fan of Pedro Neto. Like, I think he's what Sterling should have been. I think he'll come onto that right side and he will be dangerous for you guys. I wouldn't even be mad if you are you guys. I looked at this first performance like, I mean, this is the best team in the world, and like, yes, it's hard to hang on to them, but at the same time, people had good performances. Like Nicholas Jackson had a good performance. He still just has like those bonehead mistakes, but bro, he was combining, holding the ball up, you know, getting on, playing guys through. Like, link up play was amazing today. Like you said, I think Nkuku just needs to – I think he just hasn't played real matches in so long that he's going to – because he was – like, to me, like, he was looking at Gabriel Jesus. Like, he was in the box and just dribbling. And I'm like, bro, just shoot.
Take a shot.
Use your left foot. Like, go across the box. You know, try to get far post. I don't know. It looked a little just, like, rusty for him. And I do agree. I think everyone saw Cole Palmer on that right-hand side. I think when he's just playing as a winger, if he doesn't have a 10 that's going to link up with him, I think he can play on the wing, but he needs someone who's going to link up with him.
You have to bring him into the game way more often. Exactly. Like you got to send the ball to him so that, you know, he can be involved. But if you're playing him as that winger that, you know, is just going to come open and run behind, I don't think that's his best attribute. He has to be on the ball, you know, more often. And I think overall, in the end, it's just our lack of experience was just showing. It's just there isn't enough guys on the team that, okay, I can look at and be like, hey, this is the guy that can get these guys going, can, you know, kind of, you know, motivate guys and push guys. Everybody else is in their fifth, sixth year of senior football. Like,
winning
trophies. It just shows. And I'm hoping hopefully when Reece James comes back, this is where we can close some of these gaps. Malo Gusto on the right had a tough day. Played well, but had a tough day. There were multiple times, I can say at least four times, you got to send the ball into the box quickly. You have to just send it in. Some of those things, you don't have to think too much about it, because the quicker you send in the ball into the box, there's a chance you're catching that center back off, right? There's a chance. But if you wait and then try to send it in, you're probably back, you know? So there were multiple times that right side, I feel like, okay, our lack of experience is showing here. Like right here, you have to do it quickly. He's waiting. There were times where he was trying to take him off the dribble and then couldn't because he waited too long. So I don't know. I feel like in the end, we will have to grow up quickly because there's no experience anywhere coming. So we just have to grow up quickly. And I think we'll do that. So I'm not too worried.
You have the right guys to do it, though. I feel like you have the manager to do it. Your manager. Yeah. I mean, listen, he worked under Pep. Anyone who works under Pep and becomes a head coach, I mean, hey, they must have some juice. you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, speaking from experience, you feel me? Like, he must have some juice. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think you guys will be fine, though. It wasn't a bad performance. I wouldn't look at it poorly.
Yeah, I think we got a lot to look forward to. And like I said, the rest of this month is favorable as far as matches. So we, you know, won't be seeing the three-time winners of the Premier League in the first match at home. But, you know, to go backwards in the games this weekend, Arsenal played yesterday and opened up match week one with a win. Goal and assist from Bukayo Saka. To start his campaign off very, very well. There's not much more I can say. Overall, good match from Arsenal. Gabriel, how did you feel about the match?
You know, it was a very first week match. Like, I don't feel like everyone's there yet. I don't feel like our team is completely, you know, it can't be. You know, not everyone's gel. We haven't completely gotten there as a team, but I mean, it was a good win. You know, they did have us on our heels. It was 1-0 for, 60 minutes, 50 minutes. So, you know, it did take – it was a little tension in the air when, you know, they were on the front foot for a bit and had us pinned in for maybe like 10 minutes or so, 7 minutes. So there was a little bit of, you know, iffiness. But that's why we have guys like Saka to kind of take that – kind of dead the game, you know, late in the game. And – I love our performance. It was fine. Of course, I want to see more. You know, I think Partey had a great day. Like I've been saying, Kai Havertz, once again, I think he's still learning in this nine role. He hasn't fully gelled there yet. But if we don't buy a striker, bro, I'm not mad at it. You know, I'm not mad at it. Like I said, last season, half a season there, he had 12 goals and 9 assists in the Prem. I can only imagine if he starts there like he's doing now from the season. And he already opened up the account early this year on the first match day. So yeah, no, I mean, Saka's gonna do what Saka does. I mean, literally they just gave him too much space. You can't give a world-class player like that much space and expect him not to do something with it. So yeah, no, I liked our performance. I think we could have been better in some areas. I think it's extremely clear, even with the match yesterday, that our left side is still a problem. And I'm not even talking about Zinchenko. I mean, he's the biggest like aspect of that, but I think, you know, we will start to see Trossard here. I honestly think next week. I think Trossard will be starting next week. If we're gonna, I think, you know, for my team, this is really all I want to talk about. I was thinking about it yesterday. In my team, the only thing I would change, because I like our midfield, Partey looked, despite his preseason looking bad, he looked great the other day. He had a few, you know, rumbles here and there, but I think our biggest side, like our biggest problem is our left side. Our left side is so dead, and it's bad because Zinny all tucks in a lot, but then he's also bad defensively, so we're exposed there. But then also, if you look at Martinelli also struggles because he doesn't have a left back to help him out, but then also he's not really in the game. He hasn't been performing well either. So for me, my only thing with Arsenal is I don't think we should ever start Zinny and Martinelli at the same time. If we're going to start Zinny, which I obviously, you know, I don't want. But if he's going to tuck in, I think we need to start a player like Trossard who can create his own, you know, link up play, can create his own shot, can create his own cross, because Martinelli really can't do that. He needs, you know, space in behind him. I think he struggles in matches where we really need to link up. And I think Trossard is better at that. So for me, that's kind of my only change, but that those two players shouldn't start at the same time. But outside of that, I mean, comfortable 2-0 win. I didn't really feel anything too threatening during the match. Defensively, we look good. I like the rotation of players. You know, once we scored that second goal, he took Saka off immediately. You know, I like to see the rotation of players in us now. Arteta, I guess, in a sense, starts to get comfortable of knowing, like, hey, we can't burn these guys out ASAP. You know, last two seasons, Saka would have played all 90 minutes. And I understand that, but the only person I expect that in these type of matches where we're dominating and we already have the game sealed is my captain. I expect my captain, if you want him to play 90 minutes, for sure, he needs to play 90 minutes. He's the captain. He's the leader of the squad. But outside of that, bro, if one of our star players, we're up 3-0, up 3-1, and they're not coming back, bro, take men off. Take men off ASAP. There's too many matches, too many games. I want to keep guys fresh, and you have to give some other guys some rhythm as well. So that's really all I have, man. I liked our performance, like what we did, and we move on to a tough match next week. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought Arsenal's performance was pretty good. It was a performance we have come to know from you guys in the last two seasons. But coming into the season, my concern for you guys was the striker position. And, well, as an outsider looking in, I feel like Arsenal fans shouldn't be satisfied with just Kai Havertz as their striker.
I'm definitely not.
And a lot of you are okay with it, though, because
I have to be okay. I mean, but Mike, this is the thing.
Let me land with the point I was trying to make. There were multiple chances I saw last night that I was like, you know what? With a proper striker, y'all could have turned this into a better opportunity. Yes, he got the goal, but every week I feel like you guys are going to leave with some goals on the field. So I feel like they should push to bring in at least a striker. Somebody that's going to challenge
at this point. Who is that at this point?
I don't know. That's the thing. But
bro,
I think they shouldn't be okay with it, because this is that year that I feel like you got to get over this hump.
No, 100%. I agree. Listen, Mike, I'll be the first one to come out and say, I don't want Kai Havertz as my starting nine. To be completely honest, I don't. I've always wanted a striker. I've been saying this for how many years now, bro?
I know.
Literally, how many years have I been saying I want a striker? I have not given up that statement just because Kai Havertz has been, you know, doing well in that role. He's not an all-in-out striker, you know? He's not.
Yeah.
Similar yesterday, I remember there was a ball on his right-hand side. And he had so much space. And I'm just like,
That was what I was talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm just like, bro, left foot or right foot, whatever foot, a striker is putting that somewhere closer or on frame. Exactly. Like, just I know that for a fact, whether it's his left or his right, you know, or if it's his weak foot, he might go outside the foot because he's a nine, you know, like that's just what you're going to get from a nine, because a nine thinks of, oh, I'm going to score this goal at all, you know, whatever it takes. And I agree, Mike. Like, I knew exactly when you said that, I knew exactly what moment you're talking about. I was like, just right there, I'm just like, bro, a real nine would have this on target or get something out of this. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, those are the moments that he lacks. That's why I think we still need a nine. Because if Kai Havertz to go flourish somewhere else and we still have a nine that can do that, and Kai Havertz is still there to score goals, make runs in behind, you know, set pieces, all of that. Great, like that's my ideal situation. So no, I'm not gonna sit here and say I'm not content with it, because I at this point I low-key have to be content with
it. It's working,
you know, so it's working. And it's not even that it's working, it's that once we're about to bring in a midfielder, like I heard Moreno's pretty much locked up and should probably be announced this week. So we're bringing in a midfielder. I don't know in the next 15 days if we bring in a striker. I don't know. And with what I've seen from Kai Havertz over the past, year, I guess, I'm ready to accept that, hey, if this is what it has to be, 12-9 in 18-ish matches, build on that, I'm okay with that. That's not what I want, but I'll have to be okay with that. Everywhere else on the field is secure, you know what I mean? So
I'm happy with the point you made on Martinelli. I think It's very obvious to everybody. Okay, this experiment has run its course.
It's not an experiment. It's not an experiment.
He's not shaking that left side, dog. He's not shaking anybody on that
side. But Mike, it's because he has no help on that side. And that's why I think he struggles, because like Trossard, he cannot create his own like that. He's not he can't create his own shot like that. He not like Trossard.
He needs to be given the ball.
But I'll rather start Trossard over him. That's my point.
I know 100%. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think him and Zinny should ever start at the same time, because it's counterproductive on the whole left side, and the whole left side is dead. And against a better team, than Wolves, we won't have that type of Saka doesn't get that much space for the first goal to cross it in. You know what I mean? We're gonna need to work both sides and pause. And that was crazy. And for real, and I think if you have a Calafiori or even a Timber, Timber looks sharp, you know what I mean? So if we have a guy like that to help him out and to overlap and have a defender on that side, have to think a little bit more, I think we'll be great in that respect. Yeah. But Martinelli struggles when we have to combine. You know what I mean? He needs space in front of him to really kind of reach his peak. And Trossard is just better at combining and creating his own space, creating his own shots, creating his own crosses. And I think that's the direction we're going to move into. And this is why I'll say this. I'll say this for sure, is because if you guys peeped, I don't know if you guys watched our match, but when they took Saka off, usually Trossard goes to that right side and Martinelli stays on the left. Last match yesterday, when Trossard came on, Martinelli switched. And that's why I'm like, okay. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. I'll give it the next maybe 3-4 matches. We'll see what happens with Villa. You don't perform against Villa. If Martinelli starts against Villa and doesn't perform, I guarantee it, bro. I guarantee it. Next match, Trossard is starting for sure.
I think he'd be better served off the bench anyway. Like his speed,
coming off,
on the bench. Like
that's how I feel about Garnacho. When Garnacho comes off the bench, it's like, bro, you have this energetic kid who just wants to sprint, run. He wants to shoot, and Martinelli's kind of the same type, energetic, fast, wants to shoot, very direct. You know what I mean? Extremely direct. So it's like I right now where we're at and how we want to play with all this combination, I think it might be better to start him. And maybe he can learn from him and learn that part of his game and develop it to where he becomes a starter. But right now, I mean, we're in the way that we're going. I think that's.
Eventually, it's gonna work itself out
for sure.
Yeah, I really only had a question about Timber, and you kind of answered that. Do you see him kind of being the main starter, or do you think it'll be a rotation where certain games it'll be Zinny, certain games you'll see Jurian, because he got 20 minutes or something live back or so, I believe.
That's kind of my only question mark is how he's going to work this back line, because right now I'm thinking Calafiori is a left back and a center back. So is he back up for Gabriel? Because we didn't see him yesterday. So I'm like, is he back up for Gabriel? Is he just not playing yet because he's trying to just ease him into the squad? I'm kind of very confused on how our second center back line is going to run, which right now our second center back line is Calafiori, Timber. You said who else?
Is it Kivior?
Or Kivior and Tomiyasu. Those four, I don't know how they're going to rotate. I don't know if Calafiori is going to become left back. And I really don't know. And
I think Calafiori will be the left back.
I think it'll be the left back too. But then for me, it's like, where does Timber fit in? Because I'm not going to lie, bro. I would start Timber at left back when we play against these teams. Just to get him introduced in the squad. Like I would play Timber against these Wolves, Everton's bottom three teams. Get him on the left side, bro.
That's a nasty back four. Tomiyasu, Kivior, Timber, and Calafiori.
What do you mean? That's not even a bad back four.
Yeah. That's like when you're playing FIFA, the alternate game that you don't want to play when you simulate, you play the
But still, that's not even a bad back four.
It's not
I'm not even mad at it. And like some teams wish they had my alternate back four as a regular back four. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even going to complain, but you know, yeah, I just don't know how we're going to rotate that. I'm sure we'll see over the next, you know, over the next month, once these FA Cup games start, you know, we're going to see different lineups. So yeah, that's my only questions, but end of the day, man, happy with my squad, happy with the dub. We move. We have a big match next week against who I presume is going to be another top four team this year. They looked good the other day away. So their first home match against us, they beat us last year. I'm looking towards that. Like, yo, this is a big match early. And I think we're going to see probably our strongest 11 that week. I don't think Zinni started. A Leon Bailey Zinni link up is not happening.
We saw that last year.
I think Calafiori is going to. I think it's probably rested him. Either Timber or Calafiori is going to start that match. No Zinni for me. If you start Zinni, I'll tell you guys again, like I said last year, if we start Zinni, a goal is going to come for the right side, bet Leon Bailey to score, and we might lose the match. I was giving you that again.
Could be a lock of the week.
Literally. Stay tuned.
Crazy. But yeah, moving on to the game and the team that kicked us all off this Premier League season, Manchester United playing against Fulham on Friday. And yeah, I know that his heart was full of happiness after they were able to win. And I believe this is the first time you've won your opening match in a few years. To get the start.
Yeah,
shamelessly, I saw a few of my United friends already posting top of the table. so I'm happy to know that you weren't one of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the high hopes for a lot of what's going on there with the United project. You know, new manager on the side, Ruud van Nistelrooy, assistant manager, I should say. New signings. We got to see, you know, pretty much the whole gambit of the new signings. Yeah. How did you feel, you know, ask you the same question leading into the match? How do you feel about the lineup? And then obviously, you know, with Xerxes getting the game-winning goal on his debut, just speak about, you know, the beginning to the end, you know, because it was a roller coaster match.
Yeah, I mean, I think going into the game, obviously, you know, like we have a few center backs that are injured and not fit. So, you know, Maguire being in there, I thought would kind of serve as a problem. To be fair, I actually thought he had a decent game, and hopefully he can, you know, continue to kind of build his stock so he can get out of here. But to be very honest with you, man, like going into this game one, there was a few things that I was looking for. Obviously, it's great to get the result, but I just wanted to really see, you know, do we have, you know, this is year three with Ten Hag. So, like, you know, do we have this established style of play? You know, like, do we brought in all these coaches. They've worked with these players throughout the preseason. Hopefully we can come out here and kind of, like, see something, you know. And even in the game, the last game that we had against City in the Community Shield, yeah, we lost that game. But I walked away from it like, I think we're ready for the season. Yeah, obviously, it would have been great for the team, for the confidence of the group to actually, like, win that. But I think we looked better. It was only game one, but I think we looked better. I think there was a few players that I really wanted to see if they would come out and kind of just kind of see what they had. Casemiro, I thought, looked good. He was one of those people. He's been looking shaky all preseason, too. Last quarter of the season last year, preseason, he's not in his prime anymore, but man, it was looking tough. But Marcus looked a little lively, which that was encouraging. Could have had an assist, but Garnacho missed, obviously. But I thought, man, like, I was happy with the team. And I, the biggest thing for me is, like, we just have to get rid of that old culture. And that starts with just getting rid of a lot of the players that used to be in this team. Probably some of them are still in this team who have been here for a while. But, I mean, you're seeing guys like come in. Mazraoui. You know, I know everybody's going to talk about Xerxes.
Amazing.
Mazraoui, man. You talk about, like, a debut performance. That's going to be someone that we rely on all season, 100%. Hopefully 10,000. Hopefully he can stay healthy. I liked Wan-Bissaka, but you can tell he is more suitable for how I presume we want to play. Dalit came on. I thought I was happy with what I saw from the few minutes of Dalit. So hopefully, you know, him and Lissandro can get back into it. Lissandro too, man. I wanted to shout out Lissandro. Lissandro had a hell of a match. And then obviously the game winner, Xerxes, man. I think he's really going to bring a different dynamic to our attack. And I think he's going to really – I hate using this word. I think he's going to help unlock some players because I just think, you know, like in the last segment we were talking about, like, Arsenal and, like, Martinelli, like, you know, certain players, like, they can't necessarily always create opportunities for themselves. You know, some people, you know, are better with spacing behind, and I think that Xerxes has the technical ability to kind of create for others as well as himself. I mean, the goal that you saw, I didn't even know it was him.
Facts.
But he, when you watch the opposite angle of the goal, I mean, he placed it in that corner.
He did.
Good for him, man.
He meant to do that. Yep.
And hopefully, we deserve this. You know, I feel it's been a long time coming. I really just wanted to shout out the guys who have been working on these transfers, man. Because these are the guys that are really making a difference here. You can tell. New right back, instant signing. New striker, he scored the winner. New center back, he already looked better than Maguire did in the 80-plus minutes that he had played. So, good start. Hopefully, we can continue getting some more players back in into the fold. And then, for me, I mean, there's just certain players that just need to kind of step up because, you know, they're on borrowed time right now. So, hopefully, they can make the most out of their situations.
I want to ask you about thoughts on Mason Mount's performance, and this is not me picking on him, but for Ten Hag to give him the start, I'm trying to see what he's seeing, but I don't see it. What did you think?
I think he had to start. I agree with him starting just because he's been one of the few players who has actually been here all preseason. Okay. So in terms of like match,
that's fitness, what I was thinking too. Yeah,
yeah. In terms of match fitness, I think he had to be in there. I mean, we didn't really have like a fit nine. So I think what you saw in that game was Bruno was kind of playing that false nine. So we were almost playing with like two tens. I sound like a hypocrite because a few years ago, I was the same one saying how like this wasn't enough. But on our team, it's like obvious. He does a lot of running. He covers a lot of ground for
that
us.
That you get from him.
And in our team, I think that's like very essential. But I think when everyone's healthy and when we have a striker in, I think he'll go to the bench. So because he was kind of playing in that Bruno role and Bruno was just kind of playing in that false nine. So I think once Xerxes gets up to speed, I think Bruno will go back into the 10. Mason Mount will come off the bench and I'd be fine with that. But I don't think Mason Mount's going to be a starter for us. I think he would be a very good option off the bench. And I think, but again, like he needs to kind of take advantage of these opportunities because, like, bro, all preseason you've been here, you know, these guys haven't came back yet. There's a lot of guys who, because Garnacho's not even fit. You know what I'm saying? Like when Rasmus comes back, like, you know, Bruno plays every game. So, like, Bruno doesn't 90. Win. So, yeah, he's one of those players that needs to kind of figure out. You know, his place in the team. So is Ahmad. I thought Ahmad had a pretty good performance too, but
yeah, you did.
I did want to kind of just end it with this. I just thought like, man, like I really want to see this year a few things that I want to see from Ten Hag. The first thing I want to see an established style of play. Do we have an identity as a team? That first and foremost has to be a priority considering that this is year three. Yeah. And the second thing is like, yo, you're getting a lot of your players in. Most of this locker room are guys that you're familiar with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So this favoritism for me, I feel like at some point has to stop because Rashford could have had an assist. But I just think that if you're just going off of the performance, Ahmad did not warrant being taken off before Rashford did, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah.
And I just feel like, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Part of the reason why he has to kind of sit there and talk to Ahmad when he's off the bench is when he's coming off the field is because he understands that, like,
he's going to feel some type of way.
Yeah, I have to explain to him, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, come on, man. You got to have the courage now, especially in year three. Most of these guys are your guys. Like, I don't know. I would just like to see a little bit more bravery in those situations.
It's crazy. I don't know. Because for me, when – I mean, I think everyone watched your match. You know, it's the first match. Yeah. We're all tapped in.
We're so ready.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so ready for the Prem to start. But looking back at the match and, like, all his substitutions, I think – that, like, all of his substitutions were just like, all right, these are the real starters. Like, when I saw Garnacho come on for Ahmed, I was like, all right, this is the real starter. He's just not fit yet. Yeah. Okay, when I saw who else, Mason Mount come off, and who came off for Mason Mount? It was Scott McTominay. I don't know if he'll be a starter, but I don't see Mason Mount being a starter either this season. I'm completely honest. When I saw DeLitt come on, I said, oh yeah. Early, where it was just like a introduction of, like, this is the new regime. Like, honestly, this year after these signings, I'm like, okay, like, my project started once we got some signings in. I was like, okay, this is your project, like, truly starting. Like, these are mostly his guys, and honestly, bro, this is probably the best transfer window we've had in
Pogba, probably Zlatan.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm looking at your squad like, oh, you still have Sancho on the bench. Oh, you have Xerxes on the bench. You have Rasmus that's hurt. He's not even there right now. You know, you have Euro that's not even there right now. You still have Luke Shaw. You know what I mean? He still can provide something. So I know you're saying Luke Shaw, like, no, but I'm just saying, like, you guys actually have – this is why I think I put United in the top four. I'm not even joking. I'm so serious. Because I said, listen, I don't know much about Xerxes, but this guy is either going to be another Gabriel Jesus based on the highlights that I saw that likes to dribble and he doesn't like to shoot in the box, or he's going to be a good nine who just gets you guys goals that you need. And day one, it's only day one, so you can only give so much, but it's just like day one, a crucial goal. You know what I mean? It was tense in that stadium. You heard it was tense. So it's like day one delivers. How long did it take Rasmus to deliver? Games. I know it's a different team. I know it's a different team, 100%. Don't get it twisted. I know it's a different team, but it's like, okay, like, now you guys have guys. Yeah. You have a rotation of players. Like, oh, DeLitt's going to become your starter. Like, no doubt.
Yeah.
But
now when
he needs to take a break, we have a Maguire who, yes, he's not what you want, but he's decent enough to step in. You know what I mean? You guys have a Xerxes. You have a Rasmus, but if Rasmus is hurt, you have a Xerxes that can step up. You know, you have players now that can step up into that role, which United has been missing for years. It's in those crucial positions, like the positions that you needed the most. Now you have guys in, so it's like, nah, man. It was tense for the two guys scored, but I like your team. I'm not even gonna lie, like, this team, and I don't know. I feel like Ten Hag has a little bit of a different swagger to him now too. Like, he's like, oh. Now that I have my guys, I feel like he's been seeing it in training. You know what I mean? Like, okay, once his team gets fit, like, I know exactly what I want to do. And I'm not going to lie. I'm excited to see what you guys play this year. I'm not.
Yeah. I agree. I 1,000% agree. I would have put United in my top four, except I'm worried about some of their injuries. You know, Rasmus and Euro. Those are, you know, big players for them, like, in this squad moving forward. So that was my main thing. Like, okay, if these guys are down, you don't want it to become a pattern. But that's the only reason I didn't have him in my top four. But speaking of, my biggest takeaway from you guys' game was Casemiro. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, guy's looking fit. He's looking
good.
He's looking like he could actually give them some hope in that middle, you know? And that has been their biggest issue. The fact that, you know, Kobbie Mainoo's came up, but then it's like, okay, who's going to help him? Who's going to push, you know, this guy to be better? It didn't seem like there was going to be a guy, but Casemiro, this first game, I'm going to give it to him. I was very impressed. He was, like, one of the main guys I was looking at. because the last couple of years he's been very shaky since his first season. So I wanted to see, you know, what he was gonna do, but looks good.
Yeah, and I think he's gonna get better too. Like once we get, once we get some good center backs that can kind of play a little bit closer to the opposition's goal, I think you're going to see really like the best out of him, because he's not, I think people need to understand that, like, he's not going to fulfill the same role that he had at Real Madrid. I think for us, you're seeing that, I mean, he does a little bit of everything, bro. He was providing like the chance that he created for Bruno. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, in the attacking third, he's really like come alive. So like,
yeah,
if we could kind of, this is why we need to get in that Ugarte in there. So like, we can keep Casemiro fresh for
exactly,
you know, like the games against you guys, the big cup games and all that. But yeah, I don't even think that we're done doing business though. I think, to be very honest with you, you brought him up earlier, Gabriel. I think by the next time that we all sit down and record this, I think Sancho will be gone. I think by the time we sit down and record this, I think McTominay or Maguire could be gone as well too. But Sancho for sure, the next time we sit down, he's out of here. I don't think that.
Where's he going? I haven't been on social, so
PSG and Chelsea so far, from what I've seen.
PSG.
That'd be a great pickup for Chelsea.
I think you hold on to a guy like him. You're in a lot of competitions.
No,
you never know, man.
This has been coming though. I mean, once you have an argument with the manager, there's only so many people that can really come back from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. I don't know, man. He needs to also like you don't look in shape. You just, I don't know, bro.
The vibe is off. You know, those things are hard to mend. You know, so we'll see. Yeah. If it was up to me, keep him around.
Off of ability, yeah. But it's just like the application, though, man. When you turn and you have a belly, it's like, bro, come on, man.
Oh,
like,
stop.
You know what I'm saying? You're on 250K plus a week. What are we doing?
I feel you. No, I feel you. Bro, listen, if I ain't gonna lie, if I saw, because this has happened with so many of our teams, you know, you see a guy, he has a gut like coming back. Bro, if I see any Arsenal player with a gut in coming on to
get
the
him
pitch,
off.
Bro, I would be livid. Like I've never seen it. So I couldn't even like Smith Rowe every once in a while, but like Smith Rowe is just like gets a little pudgy and you're just like, bro, like get fit. Come on. Yeah, outside of that, like I'd be so mad, bro.
Yeah, but it's a problem, Gabriel. Like, if I'm walking up to you and saying that, and then if I say, like, well, why are you speaking to me like this? It's like, well, it's like the accountability is just kind of like, you know, I'm kind of cool. I'm at peace with it, man. It was an experience. I think he falls into the Ronaldo Pogba category for me. Like, it looked good for the picture. Yeah, it didn't work out. Let's give Ahmad a run of games. I'm happy with Garnacho. Rashford's going to stay. And Anthony, we've spent too much tonight.
Still have Ahmad.
Yeah, Ahmad is.
You have some guys. You have some guys. You should be fine. You know, actually seeing De Ligt and Martinez back there, I was like, these guys might have it for back line.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I was like, okay.
Mazzarri, De Ligt, Martinez, and Dalot on the bro, that's a solid back like, line. Yeah. I'm not gonna be
loving Onana look good. Onana, no games from decent. Onana.
Yeah, clean sheet, man. Clean sheet. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the clean sheet holders, man. Shout out to the clean sheet holders.
But yeah, let's move on, man. We got how are we on our game picks?
Yeah, well, I'll get right into it, guys. If you guys don't know, if you're just now tuned to the episode, you didn't see our post earlier. We are now giving out game picks, locks of the week, as we call them, which each member will be giving out their lock of the week. We'll be posting it before the matches start for the weekend. Whether it's a Friday game, we'll probably post on Thursday. If it's a Saturday game, we'll probably post on Friday. So, to look at all the locks of the week, they're looking good so far. We are 3-0. My lock of the week, Arsenal Moneyline, locked in, 2-0. We won. Over on Aston Villa and West Ham from Salam hit. They hit 3 goals. Aston Villa won 2-1. And Mike's bet for Moneyline, Aston Villa also hit. So that is 3-0. You know, They, like I said, they won 2-1. The last game we're waiting on is Cornelius's pick, the Leicester City versus Spurs, which is tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. So if you locked in with us, you know, if you took them, you took them straight, you know, you're looking good. If you put it in a parlay, it was about, you know, plus 600-ish, plus 550-ish.
Come on, Cornelius.
You
come
know,
on, go through for us.
We just need Cornelius to hit. You know,
they're
going to
come through.
They're going to come through. If you, any of you guys don't hit, you can hit up Cornelius.
Right. So yeah, no, the picks are looking good. Please do tap in with us either every probably one Thursday or Friday, the weekend matches, to get your lock of the weeks. And we will be keeping track of the locks as well. So we'll have a player record. Each pod member have a record on their picks. So, you know, you can kind of tailor your picks to, you know, a guy that you like, you think does better in overs compared to money lines or however you want to do it. So, but yeah, picks are looking good. Picks are looking solid. I'm looking for that first week parlay to hit. You know, I definitely put my locks in, guys. So, you know, looking for them to hit. Most and definitely. We'll see what happens tomorrow, man. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Most definitely, man. Let's wrap up. Shout outs. Who we got? Who you guys have? Shout outs.
You want to touch a little bit on Liverpool?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I thought it was a Liverpool performance. They didn't look anything different. I watched their game just to see, you know, if, you know, things were gonna shake, but Salah came through as usual. What do y'all think about Ipswich, man? I got the what was his name? The coach that was coaching Leeds that first game when they came up. It was fun. It was fun in games until, you know, the Prem started Premming.
Yeah, but their Prem start is against Liverpool away. Like, bro. Oh, no, it was at home, actually.
It was at home.
But, yeah, but still, it's against
I think they played well. For,
yeah, they played. This is a team that if I had to pick someone out of the top three teams that got promoted from the championship last year, this would be my one pick to stay.
Really? Okay.
I don't. Yeah. This would be my one pick to stay. The other two I think will drop. But Ipswich, I can see them getting points off of these Evertons, these Wolves, these, you know, get a point off of Brentford. You know, I can see this team, you know, getting some points in the during the season. So yeah, I think they'll be all right. Honestly, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I agree. I thought they played well, but Liverpool just overpowered them. So
yeah, we'll see if Liverpool
can keep playing like this.
Right. When Liverpool plays in Newcastle, then we'll start to see, you know, what's really going on. They start to play, you know, bigger teams. We'll start to see. But this one, man, I'm not giving too much stock into it. They won 2-0 away from home.
Shout out.
That's good for them.
Shout out Salah. I mean, Salah broke a record for most goals on the
opening day.
So shout out him. Shout out. I can't think of how to say
John Duran. You got to shout out John Duran for Aston Villa,
yeah.
Being linked to West Ham this whole summer. Well, West Ham and Chelsea.
Yeah,
and then scoring the winner against West Ham. Ooh.
Who's that?
And then cashing the bet too. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Ivory Coast. Who's the winger for Ivory Coast? Simon
Adingra.
He played well.
Yeah,
a lot of Africans did well, right, man. And then Nazrari, man. Shout out my man Nazrari, man. Those are my three guys.
Yeah, my shout out would probably be Mbeumo and Wissa. Both scored in their 2-1 win this weekend, or actually this morning, I should say. You know, Brentford looks good. You know,
another 2-1
win against
the
Crystal Palace. Yeah. No Tony, no problem. So I've always liked both of their games, to be honest. I think with them, it's just going to be staying healthy through the year, because if either of them go down, that's a lot of goals that you're not going to see. So that's going to be their big issue this year.
Where do you guys think Tony end up?
They've been saying West Ham, bro. You know,
I'm hearing Saudi too. Saudi have interests.
I mean, listen, go get a bag. You sat out for that long. I don't even be mad at you. go get some cheese, my boy. But I don't. I heard West Ham rumblings for a little bit. I'm not on social, so maybe those have died off. But yeah, I honestly think he might stay, bro. If he doesn't go to Saudi, I think he might stay. And then they'll just probably utilize him for another season, and we'll see what happens next season. But yeah, no, yeah. I don't. I don't know. I don't know if he goes anywhere. My shout-outs for the week, though. My shout-outs. Ooh. I'm trying to pick someone not on my team, honestly. To, like, really. Who had a good performance this week?
I think that should be the rule from now on. Shout-outs have to be someone not on your team.
Yeah, I know, right?
After today.
Okay.
Honestly, man, like I said, bro, I'm not going to gas it too much, bro. But shout out this United team, man. I've been waiting for you guys to be semi-decent again. And now that you guys are back, I'm like, all right. You know?
The league's in a better
guys,
place.
Yeah, the league's in a better place, man. When you guys aren't just trash. I know when we were trash, everyone was just like, yo, what's going on? Like, are they going to just become a mid-table team now? And I was like, United has been trash for kind of 2-3 years now. What's really going on? So the fact that you guys are actually, you know, look decent. This early into the season, I'm like, all right, you know, shout out to you guys. I'll be nice this week. You know, it's week one. Most of us got dubs. At least we got dubs, you know, 3-point holders. Yeah. You know, I'm gonna be nice.
Yeah, unlike some just pick off. That's crazy. We watched Man City lose to Man City beat Chelsea what twice in 30 days? Yeah, damn near.
In 14 days,
2 weeks.
Yeah, yep.
You got 2 goals. Yeah, man, that's a wrap for day one of the Premier League. We'll have we're gonna be starting something new. So every week we're gonna be dropping some summaries from each of us, just on someone from the Prem that we think deserves a little bit of spotlight. So that will. Mm-hmm. Drop on Tuesday. Episode will drop tomorrow morning or Monday morning, whenever you guys are watching this. But until then, good luck to you and your future endeavors.